You're with SBS Radio.
Brexit means Brexit.
Brexit is unumstossbar.
Rocket Man should have been handled a long time ago. He's fired!
Au nom du peuple français!
Wir schaffen das.
Make our planet great again.
Don't worry, be happy.
I will kill you if you destroy my country.
Better is always possible.
I ain't spending any time on it.
Hello, I'm Brett Mason in the gallery for SBS World News. This week, oh la la, French President Emmanuel Macron's first visit to Australia makes international headlines after the 40-year-old appeared to suggest the Prime Minister's wife was good enough to eat.
Thank you and your delicious wife for your warm welcome. It's the perfect organisation of this trip.
Lucy was very flattered. She's asked me to say that she found the president's compliment as charming as it was memorable.
Sacre bleu! In a moment, we'll take a closer look at the youngest ever French president's first year at the Elysee Palace. What does his En Marche policy agenda mean for Australia? But first, our senior political reporter Maria Zivic with her take on the week that was in Canberra, as we count down to Tuesday's budget.
Thanks, Brett. Well, it's the time of year we start hearing a lot about debt, deficit and surplus. The budget is just days away and it'll be the last one before the next federal election. That alone lifts the stakes even higher. Treasurer Scott Morrison has already hinted at income tax cuts for low and middle income earners, but maintains that the government will continue to live within its means.
It will be a very responsible budget. We've been very cautious in our forecasts, as people know, over some years now. And we will continue to maintain that cautiousness in how we forecast and how we look ahead. But it is true that the economy has been improving. And that hasn't been by accident. There are certainly global aspects to this, but there are also very real domestic factors behind that.
Australia's top budget economist, Deloitte Access Economics' Chris Richardson, is painting a rosy picture too. He predicts the government will be running a slightly smaller deficit on Tuesday and will keep its forecast return to surplus by 2020.
Look, great news in the budget at the moment. The economy is stronger. You're seeing it in jobs, you're seeing it in profits, but over and above that, the tax system is generating even extra revenues. Things like tax losses from the global financial crisis, they're now out of the system. That means extra money for the government.
The tax talk is already paving the way for a fierce battleground come the next election. Labor leader Bill Shorten is warning voters against backing the Turnbull government for another term.
We've seen the movie four times now from this government, and we know how it ends. The nearest sensation I can explain it to is a bit like a late night trip to McDonald's. Everything looks so good, goes down well at the time, but soon enough you're experiencing buyer's remorse.
He's continued to attack the coalition over its plan to give companies with an annual turnover of more than $50 million a tax cut, including the banks. And his argument's been helped along by the Banking Royal Commission, which has uncovered bad behaviour within the sector. Add to that a scathing report by the financial regulator APRA into the culture at Australia's largest such institution, the Commonwealth Bank. It says the CBA is desensitised to failings with customers, leaving its new chief executive, Matt Comyn, to try to reassure investors.
Today I've printed out 500 copies of the report and I've sent that out to the top 500 leaders in the Commonwealth Bank. I think it'll be tempting for some people in the organisation to look at the report and either think that it's unfair or to think that it actually applies to the Commonwealth Bank but not to them and to their teams. I think it's really important that everyone in the bank, the senior leaders of the Commonwealth Bank, realise that it is us, it's me, it's our leadership, and things need to change.
There's been talk of change too for the country's top cyber spy agency. The Australian Signals Directorate can currently collect intelligence only on foreigners, but leaked top secret discussions between two federal departments appear to show plans to expand the ASD's powers so it can monitor domestic threats, also known as Australians. The agencies in question have been quick to shut down the idea, along with Foreign Minister Julie Bishop, as legal safeguards remain in place.
In the child exploitation space, we know that there are sophisticated networks onshore and off that are streaming live product of children being exploited online. Now, if we had a capacity to disrupt that and to destroy those networks, would we want to consider it? Of course we would.
The contradictory views between the two ministers have already led one former Labor senator to suggest that Julie Bishop and Peter Dutton are positioning themselves for the top job in case the day comes when Malcolm Turnbull is no longer in it.
In May last year, Emmanuel Macron pulled off a stunning victory, becoming the youngest ever French president, defeating far-right candidate Marine Le Pen in the presidential runoff. This week, he made his first visit to Australia, and having just returned himself from the Western Front, very near to Macron's hometown of Amiens, Malcolm Turnbull heaped on the praise.
I think Australia appeals to you and you appeal to Australia and Australians. We're building together the world's most advanced non-nuclear submarines for our Navy. This $50 billion program represents a strategic partnership that will last for generations. We've also talked about free trade. And we've talked about the importance of an Australia-EU free trade agreement, which will promote further trade between Australia and the EU and, of course, Australia and France, which totaled almost $9 billion in 2016-17. We both understand that free trade and open markets are good for jobs in France, good for jobs in Australia.
I think Chinese raise is a very good news for everybody because it's good for China itself, for its middle classes, and it's good for, the global growth and the regional growth. Now, what's important is to preserve a rule-based development in the region, and especially in Indo-Pacific region, and is to preserve the necessary balances in the region.
Our executive producer for SBS French, Christophe Mallet, was at Kirribilli House when Monsieur President made that headline-grabbing faux pas. And Christophe, both leaders were very quick to laugh it off.
Yeah, and I think they had to be perfectly honest. But it was definitely a faux pas. I mean, and after, how it works, the French president made the comment, but behind there's the whole press review from his own part. And they all said, look, it's a faux pas and it's the danger of using a foreign language when you are abroad. So they all laughed it out. It was even, quite funny around the Daily Telegraph front page as well. He said, look, he was happy there was only one, and he didn't know the background of what the Daily Telegraph was too much, but he was happy there was this. And he said, you know what, he had to explain to the French press that Pepe Le Pew actually was not just about the smell. He said it's also because he's got a French accent in the original cartoon, because he hasn't got the French accent, of course, in the French version of the cartoon. So he had to laugh it out and explain it a little bit more to the French press.
To be fair, though, his English was probably slightly better than our Prime Minister's French. You've covered previous French presidential visits to Australia before. How did this one compare? What was different about it?
Modernity. I think that's the key word. The whole staff, the whole show around what has been happening for the last 3-4 days when the whole trip was in action was just incredible in that sense. The big difference is when François Hollande came before, he was on the back of a G20, but he felt, even though it was a big mission with the G20 and he went to New Caledonia and he came back for an official visit, which at the time was the first official visit ever for a French president in Australia, he felt a lot more chaotic. This time he felt they were very much in control of everything. Last time we were late pretty much everywhere. And to be perfectly honest, this time they made up time and we were on time pretty much everywhere except a few hiccups. So professionalism was, I think, the big key of that trip.
How indicative of his character do you think that is, and how cleverly does he use the media, not just in France, but also in foreign countries like Australia when he's on these trips? Back in France, his approval rating has dropped now below 50%, but watching the vision and listening to Malcolm Turnbull's words to President Macron this week, you wouldn't know it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then one thing that needs to be understood as well, and just clarify a little bit, the approval ratings in France only matter on the day of the election. The president is here to stay. He's been elected for a mandate, and he can't be removed like it could happen here. So there's a bit less pressure about the approval ratings because they know at some point they will drop. You know, so the focus on approval ratings in the French press or locally in France is absolutely not key as we can think it is here. In terms of the managing the press, then it's just about using the press here as well to answer the questions that was happening in France as well. There's a bit of unrest at the minute, and the French press, rightly so, they were focusing on this and a bit less on what's been happening in detail here in Australia and the deals and the discussion that could have happened with Prime Minister Turnbull. But the idea of them answering questions about French local politics abroad, normally they completely avoid the subject. They come and say, look, I'm here, and it's disrespectful for the local host for me to talk about our local issues back in France. But he did use that card a lot. He also answered some of the questions which were asked to him. So he didn't deviate and just brush it off. And that's just for me to compare to what happened last time with François Hollande, because François Hollande was under a lot of pressure in France. I remember when he was here, his approval rating was at 12%. So way, way, way under 50%. And he brushed off every single discussion about local or French issues when he was there.
So aside from those domestic issues with the May Day protests and whatnot, what was Emmanuel Macron hoping to achieve on this trip? Of course, he'd just been in Washington and going on to New Caledonia, a far more tricky visit for the president compared to Australia. What was he hoping to achieve out of his time with Malcolm Turnbull? And what do you think Australia was trying to get out of the president while he was here in town?
So I think there's two sides of the coin. From the French point of view, I think they came in and it was really much of an after-sell deal, an after-sell trip after the submarine deal. So they reinforced that cooperation. We don't know what's been discussed in terms of a behind-the-door sort of contract. Are they trying to package the submarine with some aircraft? I don't know. But there's definitely a business sense. I think Emmanuel Macron as well has been reinforcing the image and the message that France is at the forefront of Europe. So by his trip, it's not just France that was here, it's Europe. And I know it's a subject that we can, you and I can discuss for hours, but the free trade agreement has been discussed, and I was lucky enough to talk about it with them. The idea of this free trade agreement not being as quick as we thought it could be. Well, Macron, I think, came here with some reassurance that they will and France will be agreeing to let Europeans decide and go on the favor of the free trade agreement. So there was a bit of reassurance for France and bringing this message. But also, you know, in a European Union post-Brexit era, I think France want definitely to place themselves as the leader of this new Europe, so to speak. And the idea that France can be that strategic partner that countries like Australia, not necessarily only Australia, but countries like Australia have been left aside with Britain leaving the EU, and someone needs a leader, and I think France and Emmanuel Macron thinks they can be the leader.
It, as you say, you did manage to get a question to President Macron on the issue of the free trade agreement. We had expected, in fact, that the EU Council, and that's made up of the European leaders, all 28 of them, would ratify what the European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker had announced in his State of the Union, that there would be this fast-tracked free trade agreement negotiation process, and they were expecting that to be signed off by the Council before Christmas. That hasn't happened, but in answer to your question, we for the first time had the president on record as saying that France would support this deal. So that's quite a significant moment, because Australia has been trying for decades and decades and decades to achieve these types of negotiations with the European Union, and agriculture really seemed to have been the sticking point.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we know agriculture has been the sticking point in the European Union for decades. It's been a sticking point between Britain and France, between France and Germany, so even within members of the European Union. So it's a major industry for France. And I think it also from the flip side, we can now understand that Emmanuel Macron is sending a message back to France saying he will not let down the French agricultural business and he's not prepared to sell this off on a quick deal with Australia. So I think we are going to see an agreement happening, and hopefully it will be for the both sides of the terms of the agreements. But I think Macron has sent a very professional message here saying they are happy to discuss and France is in favour of that deal.
It's difficult, though, for him domestically, because with all of these labour reforms that he's trying to push through the Assembly, there's been some disunity even with his own deputies in terms of immigration legislation. I mean, he is under a lot of domestic political pressure, not as much as you point out that President Hollande was facing a few years ago, but nevertheless, there is still some political pressures surrounding this deal for Emmanuel Macron. How big a deal do you think this will be for him to manage those pressures back home, as well as keeping Australia and New Zealand happy during those negotiations?
I think, honestly, from the French point of view, this is probably a minor issue. France has got a commercial excess in terms of how much money and how much trade they've got with Australia. So this is actually not a major issue for the French people, as it just as a pinpointing issue. But overall, I think he's got fire on several fronts, but every single president had for the last 40 years I've been on this planet, and I remember a little bit. But I think the feeling is that he's probably the first one that is totally in control of this, and I think he's going to tackle one subject after the other. And, you know, those unrest for the May protest, there is another protest planned for this weekend, for Saturday. There is a sense that there is a bit of chaos, but he's very much more in control, and actually a lot more control is at the head of the state that were for the last few presidents, not just the last one.
And we know that a big part of that is the way he conducts himself as president. He only sleeps for 3 or 4 hours a night. He has a very small circle of politically inexperienced, really, and young staff around him. The number of ministerial staffers is considerably less than it has been with previous presidents, and we know that he has a real attention to detail. He sits across every detail of policy. How critical do you think that is, given that his party is brand new? A lot of his deputies in the Assembly are political novices. That was part of the En Marche strategy. They wanted political outsiders, people that weren't tarnished by the establishment. He's got to juggle all of that. How difficult is it, and how much of his personality is injected into the way the country's being governed at the moment compared to previous presidents?
I think that's a very interesting point, because his personality has transvened in his old staff. So whether or not they're following a certain line, or he selected people that are like him. But all I know is that he comes across as a very modern president, something we haven't had in France for pretty much ever. I'm not going to say ever, but for a long, 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 long time, not as long as I remember. In terms of the way they handle themselves, it's a complete new new way of doing things, but it doesn't mean it's the wrong thing to do. And change and being able to do things where for decades people were told they can't just because they can't is really much in the atmosphere. So, for example, I'll give you a little detail, but I've been trying to get a one-to-one with him, and I was told that was going to be possible, and then it wasn't possible, and then in the end, maybe, and then it didn't happen because of time. But one of the key elements when I was negotiating with them, I said, well, you look, I've been able to interview François Hollande. I had Christine Lagarde. I had Jean-Marc Ayrault, ex-prime minister, here. And the answer was like, well, it's not because you've done them before that you will have him. You know, that is absolutely no... there's no guarantee he will, and in any case, he might actually be a detriment against you, because he doesn't do things he has he's pressured to do. You know, he thinks what he does what he thinks he should do. So in terms of getting this new policies through, I think that pressure of having a new staff is actually not so much of a pressure, because from inside, they all have that strong belief they are in the right, they are in the common sense, and they are in the good of the country. So I don't think that's an issue at all, Brett.
What's his personality like? He comes across as quite friendly and very charismatic, but this sort of seems from my observations, I covered the French election, I was there and witnessed him on the stump, I witnessed Mélenchon of the left, I was with Marine Le Pen. He seems to have a real clinical streak. He seems very, very focused and seems as though he has absolutely, somewhat ruthlessly executed this strategy to become president, and he's carrying out the presidency in a very clinical fashion. Is that a good assessment, do you think?
I think it is, but what we need to remember is that the fact that more than the president of France, he's basically the CEO of France, and you don't necessarily love your CEO, you know, but you trust them to do the right thing, and I think this is the image that he's conveying, that he's not your best mate, you know, but he's likable enough and you want to follow him in what he's got as a mission if you are on board of that company. And I think this is really much the image that he has today. So he's likable in a way. I don't think I'd love to go in for a pint with him, you know, but I'm not sure I'll have a magical night as fun can be, but I'm sure I'll have a very clever and very smart night and probably learn a few things along the way. So it's really much this image of he's now more than the president, he's the CEO of France, you know.
And as you say, opinion polls might not be as critical in France as they are here in Australia, but they are insightful, and we know that his overall approval has dropped below 50%. Not that that's to sort of say that he's on the nose and destined to be booted out of the Elysee Palace, but it does give us some idea of his popularity. And what we have seen is, though, that the polling for Mélenchon of the far left and Le Pen of the far right hasn't really changed. So that would suggest that he hasn't really been able to draw working class voters away from the sort of fringes of French politics. Do you think that he's troubled by that, or he's trying to draw in new voters, or is he just simply talking to the ones that voted for him in the last election?
You know, you mentioned that he sleeps 3 hours a night. I don't think he's losing any single minute on it, not a minute of that 3 hours of sleep. You
know, he can't afford to.
No, exactly, but I don't think that's not even on his agenda. I think there is a very strong feeling of there is a focus. He's been elected on a program and he's planned to apply that program in a certain manner. And so far, I think in 1 year, the general sense in France is, yes, there is some really hard things that have been addressed, and a lot more harder things to come. But there is a feeling that maybe it's going to be hard because maybe that's the last 50 years that should have been different, and not necessarily his next four, because we're reaching his first year anniversary. So there is a feeling that it might be tough, but maybe it's necessary. And that's my general feeling I get from the people I speak to, and then what I can read and what I can come across.
I remember at a press conference I was at, he said that he broke into the presidency because the people of France were unhappy and worried. Do you think that they're happy and less worried now that he's had a year at the palace?
Honestly, I would say yes.
We certainly hope so. Thank you, Christophe Mallet, the executive producer for SBS French, for those insights into a president we were very pleased to welcome to Australia earlier in the week.
My pleasure, Brett.
Have a great weekend. We will be back with a special budget program next week.
SBS acknowledges the Ngunnawal people, who are the traditional custodians of the land on which the Australian Parliament sits and where this program was recorded. We pay respect to the elders of the Ngunnawal Nation, both past and present.
Tell us what you think. Rate this podcast on iTunes. It helps other people to find us.